here's a story from The World.
A year ago today, tragedy in El Paso, Texas. A gunman opened fire at a busy Walmart, killing 23 people. Dozens others wounded.
Jorge Calvillo Garcia. Leonardo Campos Jr.
Today, the victims were remembered at a service in El Paso. Bishop Mark Seitz of the Diocese of El Paso also spoke.
Someone tried to divide us, and here we are. Someone tried to take away our hope, and here we are.
Authorities have charged Patrick Crucius with 23 counts of hate crimes and capital murder. Prior to the mass shooting, he had posted a rant online saying he wanted to kill as many Latino people as possible. Crucius has pled not guilty. It is a painful day for people in El Paso. Fernando Garcia is the executive director of the Border Network for Human Rights, an immigration advocacy group based in El Paso.
For us, there were three evils that came together. The first one was the weapons of war in our streets. I mean, there's a major problem with the weapons being accessible for people that shouldn't have these kind of weapons. Secondly, what we call white supremacy. We believe that there was a resurgence of white supremacy in the last 2 years, 3 years. And finally, the final element that actually fueled the attack was the narrative of Mr. Trump. I mean, he called Mexicans rapists, criminals, an infestation. So those elements created the conditions for the attack on Walmart to happen.
Today, how is the city of El Paso doing? What's your assessment a year on?
At the community level, it's still an open wound that has not healed. Obviously, it's not going to be healed until we find justice. And I think that is very important.
Representative Veronica Escobar, a Democratic congresswoman from El Paso, she said an attack on Latinos like the one that happened a year ago is something she was long worried about. Are you concerned it could happen again, Fernando?
Yes, yes. The basic conditions for that attack to happen, they are still out there. I mean, they have not changed. In some cases, they had it intensified. I mean, if you see the emergence of Black Lives Matters, and it shows you that hate and xenophobia and racism is still alive.
Yeah, I mean, at the same time, since the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis in May, there's been an urgent outpouring of solidarity among people of color and for people of color. This country's at a moment, a crossroads, where these movements are happening at once. I'm wondering how the tragedy in El Paso a year ago has been affected by this new energy.
Unfortunately, a year ago, even though we had 23 people killed and many more injured, there was not a larger national movement. There was not an outcry to actually confront white supremacy and racism. But I believe that Black Lives Matter has a potent tool to connect people and to connect struggles. I think it gave us more clarity that the road ahead of us is going to imply that we need to come together to actually fight these institutional evils.
I know that social distancing measures, Fernando, are taking place at today's events in El Paso, but how has the COVID-19 pandemic impacted your community's ability to come together and support each other over the past few months?
Oh, yeah, well, that is indeed a major issue. But in the case of what we're going to do today, we're going to be wearing masks and we're going to have sanitizer, gloves, face shields, everything possible so we can do this safely. We didn't want to let this opportunity go to actually come and call it what it is. I mean, if we don't call it what it is, if we don't name it what it is, and what happened before could happen again.
So what is the message and the narrative you want to express to everyone present or not at today's commemoration of the tragedy in El Paso? Not just your community, but beyond.
Yeah. For us, our hearts, our minds, they go to our victims. I mean, to the families of our victims. But what we want to also say to the nation is that this was not an attack against some families. This was an attack against a community. In this case, a community that is being resilient, a community that I'm proud of being part of. So that is the message. But also along with that is we want the nation to not to forget. We want the nation to be aware that what happened in El Paso, it could happen elsewhere because the conditions are still there. The ideology is still there. And the violence that created the attack in El Paso is still very well alive.
Fernando Garcia, the executive director of the immigration advocacy group, the Border Network for Human Rights, speaking with us from El Paso, Texas. Fernando, thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
From PRX.